Okay, so today's daf is Samach Amud Samach. We're going to start at Samach Dalet Amud Bet. Three lines from the bottom. Amar Abaye, Machloke B'Shtei Kitei Banot. Okay, we'll go back a little, explain the Mishnah, and then we'll start from there. Okay, the Mishnah is talking about a case where somebody betroths his daughter. Okay, you can see it either on the Gemara's or you can look right at the top of the sheet I brought it. Misha yesh lo shtei kitei banot mishtei nashim. He has two groups of daughters from two different wives. Va'amar, and then he says, Kidashti et biti agdola, ve'eni yodea im gdola shabigdolot, o gdola shabigtanot, o ktana shabigdolot. Okay, he has, right, let's say for example, there's four daughters, there's two from the first marriage, two from the second, and the two from the first came before the two from the second. So when he says, I betrothed my oldest daughter, okay, or my daughter who's older, right, biti hagdola, my older daughter, right, that would be the way to say it. We don't know, does he mean older, meaning the very oldest of the four, or the older one of the younger ones, or the younger one of the older ones, which is still older than the other one, meaning it's all relative, right? So we don't know what he means. So what do we say here? According to Rabbi Meir, Kulan asurot chutz min haktana shebiktanot. Everyone's forbidden, because it could refer, any of them are older, relatively speaking, except for the youngest of the youngest. Okay, so the number four, right, the very youngest daughter is Asur. Is going to be Mekudeshet. She's not going to be. She's the only one who's not going to be. Everyone else is Sefek Mekudeshet. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kulam Mutarot, everyone's Mutar, Chutz Min HaGdola Shebigdolot, only the very, very oldest one. Okay, he must have met my eldest daughter, which means the eldest of everybody. And then they have the same machloket, we don't need to go through it, about what if he said it about the youngest. Does he mean younger than, etc.? So then, just to give you some background, the Gemara also quoted a machloket. If you look sort of toward the middle of the sheet where it says Od Koshi, okay, well, the Gemara, before we get to this section, also quoted another machloket, which seems to be based on the same thing, which is Hanoder Ada Pesach, Asur Ad Sheyagia. If you say, I'm making a neder until Pesach, it's forbidden until Pesach. If you say Ad Sheyehe Pesach, until Pesach will be, you must mean the end of Pesach, Ad Sheyetzeh. But if you say Ad Pnei HaPesach, then there's a machloket. What does Ad Pnei HaPesach mean? So now, the assumption, the first working assumption of the Gemara is Ad Pnei means, it's the same issue here, that Ad Pnei means until Lifnei. Now, what does until Lifnei Pesach mean? Does it mean until before Pesach starts? Okay, or does it mean that, which would be the same as saying, we only mean the eldest, right? In other words, it's very clear what he's saying. And this is based on this concept, which is a person, we saw this in Nedarim when we learned this, a person would never say anything that's very unclear. So he would never say, I'm going to betroth my eldest daughter, when he knows that eldest could mean, you know, or my older daughter could mean older, relatively speaking. So it must be he meant one particular thing. Likewise with Pesach, if he says until before Pesach, he must have meant until before the first day of Pesach. Okay? But the other opinion says no. Until Lifnei Pesach could mean every day of Pesach, and even the last day of Pesach could still be until before Pesach, because it could still be referring to the very last moment of Pesach. And therefore, Ad Pnei Pesach would then include, your neder would conclude only at the very end of Pesach, because even a minute before the end of Pesach could still, right, just a minute before could be considered Ad Pnei Pesach, Ad Lifnei Pesach. So it's the same machloket, although we're going to see later the Gemara is going to reject that and say, actually, the machloket by Pesach is a different issue, okay? But that's how they understand it at this point. So comes Abaye, and he says, machloket, Amar Abaye, again, two lines from the bottom of Samach Dalet Amud Bet, machloket b'shtei kitei banot. Now, the Mishnah said the machloket was b'shtei kitei banot, so what's his chidush? What he's going to tell you now is, they talked about this, that it's all relative. Right, this whole thing is relative, is when you're talking about that there's two different families, right? There's one man with two different wives, and we're trying to figure out, is it the oldest of that, or blah, blah, blah. But, and that's the case the Mishnah gave. But here he says that, Divrei kol gdola mamash, v'ktana mamash. Okay? Everyone agrees that if you said gdola, if you just have one family, let's say there's three daughters, and you have one family, and you say, I betrothed the elder one, you clearly mean the elder, the oldest, and not the middle one compared to the ketana, right? Until now we said it could be relative, right? In the case of two different families, two different, you know, daughters from two different wives, we could start to say maybe it's relative. But if he has an older, a middle, and a younger, and he says older, he meant the oldest. And if he said ketana, he meant the youngest. And emtsa'it bishma karele, and that's because in a family, if you have just one family, you always call the middle one the middle one. You don't start calling them the elder one. You wouldn't call the middle one the elder one. Okay? And the assumption is even if you have five kids, seven kids, right? The elder one's always going to be the elder, the youngest, and the middle one's obviously then it would be confusing if you just said emtsa'it. Okay. So now, we're going to question this assumption of Abaye. Okay? So everybody agrees here that if there was an emtsa'it, they would have said, right, if we're talking within one family, three daughters, oldest means oldest, youngest means youngest, clearly we're not talking relatively speaking. Amalei Rav Ada Bar Manna Labaye, Ela Me'ata Emtsa'it Shebekat Shniyah Tishtirei. So they, what does he say? He says, according to what you're saying, then if you, let's say the Mishnah was talking about oldest, let's say both families, you can look at the chart a little further down on the page. Let's say the first wife had an older, a middle, and a younger. And the second wife had an older, a middle, and a younger also. Okay, let's say the Mishnah, right? No, again, Abaye said one kat edim, it's clear. So according to what you're saying, in two kite edim, so then again, you should say the middle one is not included. Now, why would this make no sense whatsoever? Take the first kat, okay? What did we say? The first wife's kids, right? Let's say you say the elder daughter. So, we said the oldest is considered for sure, potential. Even the youngest is considered potential because she's older compared to the younger one from the other wife. So, how could you possibly say that he wasn't referring to the emtsa'i, right? What does Abaye say? Emtsa'i, we always call emtsa'i. We never call gdola. So, if there's two kite edim and there's an emtsa'i, then according to what you're saying, Abaye, she should be muteret, right? She's not safet mekudeshet. And how can that possibly be? If the gdola is mekudeshet and the ktana is safet mekudeshet, right? They're both safet mekudeshet. How could you say the emtsa'it isn't? She also could be considered elder compared to the younger ones. So therefore, he questions what he says. And then he says, so the answer is, hacha b'maya skinan, what's the case of the Mishnah? B'she'en sham ela gdola uktana. The Mishnah is only referring to a case where there were two daughters from each marriage. It wasn't talking about a case where there's an emtsa'it. If there was an emtsa'it, then we discuss that, okay? But it's not discussing it, and therefore you can't make assumptions, okay, about the emtsa'it, and therefore can't question my assumption. The hachinami mistabra, and here I can even prove it from the words of the Mishnah. Deim ita deika litnie. If there was actually an emtsa'it, it would have said it. Okay, wouldn't have just said, right, the b'ktanasha, the ktana of the gdola, right, it would have said also the emtsa'it. So now he says, no, it's not necessarily clear that they would have mentioned it. Why? V'lit amech, emtsa'it shebekat rishona, divadei sveika v'asirala, mi katanela. He says, they didn't need to necessarily mention the emtsa'it because, like I said a minute ago, look at the chart again. If you say, right, maybe I should have highlighted it a little differently, but which ones are the case the Mishnah says? Let's say you say gdola, right? So what did you mean? Potentially. The gdola from the first wife, I highlighted, right, the gray. Okay, forget maybe one of the highlights. But look, the gdola of the older one, the ktana of the older one, and the gdola of the second wife. All those three are going to be forbidden. So obviously, the emtsa'it of the first wife is going to be forbidden, so there was no reason to mention it, because it's so obvious. You wouldn't say the ketana is considered gdola, but the emtsa'it not. So comes by and he answers, don't try to prove to me that it should have said emtsa'it. There was no reason for it to say emtsa'it. Okay? Sorry, Abaye answered, there's no emtsa'it, and he says it's clear because it's not mentioned there. So comes Rav Ada Bar Matna, and he questions him, and he says, according to what you're saying, it's so clear that she's forbidden, right, the emtsa'it. So therefore, you could say, it's also so clear about the second one, and that's why they're not mentioned, but really they are included. In which case, it rejects Abai, who says, and as Abai is saying, they're not mentioned because this isn't, right, you can't learn anything from them because they're not mentioned. So comes Rav Ad Barmana and says, no, you could, just because they're not mentioned, we could say that just like it's obvious that the emsa'id of the first wife is definitely going to be asura, even without mentioning it, right? In other words, by his whole assumption, you can't say anything about the emsa'id from this Mishnah, question what I'm saying, because there's no case of an emsa'id. And you can see, because she's not mentioned. So comes Rav Ad Barmana and he says, no. If you have the Gdola and the Ketana of the first wife and they're forbidden, so obviously the emsa'id is also going to be forbidden. So it doesn't even need to be said, but it's obvious. So she's also asura. And then if the Gdola of the second one is also going to be forbidden because it's relative, well then you could assume that the emsa'id will also be forbidden. Okay? And therefore, just because it's not mentioned doesn't mean it's not included. It means that it would be obvious that they both be forbidden, so it is included, it's just not mentioned by name. Okay, that's what he's saying. So then the Gemara, then they're going to reject this and say, wait a minute. Right? It doesn't appear, and therefore, but it's obvious that she's forbidden. So therefore, also, you could say about the emsa'id, it's obvious she's forbidden. So now they distinguish. They say, no. Abai would answer back. Hachi hashta. Okay, Abai answers, that might be in that case. In the first case, it's obvious that she's forbidden. Why? And that's why I highlighted here. Hatam tana ktana dida liisura. V'huadin lahachte kashisha mina. Right? In other words, if the younger one of the first wife is forbidden, then obviously the emsa'id is going to be forbidden. But in the second case, you can't say it's so obvious. Right? Because hachaim ita di'ika nitnye. Okay? But in the second case, what would be the issue? The ktana is not going to be mekudeshet, right? In the second case. So when the emsa'id is in between the gdola and the ktana, and both of them are mekudeshet, besafek, so obviously the emsa'id is going to be included. But in the second case, you might say when he said elder, either he means from the elder wife, right, from the older kids, the older group of kids, or he means the oldest of the second wife. But that wouldn't necessarily include the emsa'id. You follow? When the middle, right, literally is sandwiched between two that are suffek mikudeshet, then she's going to be bada mikudeshet. But in the second case, she's not sandwiched between two. One, right, she's sandwiched between one who's suffek and one who's for sure not mikudeshet, the ketana. So we wouldn't know where the emsa'id would go, and therefore the emsa'id should be in the Mishnah if there really was a case where the emsa'id existed. And therefore comes Abai and he proves, clearly the emsa'id is not here, and that proves what he was trying to say, that it's a case where it's just a gdola and a ktana, and therefore don't question what I said, that if it was one wife, and there was a gdola, emsa'id, and ktana, only the gdola is going to be forbidden. Okay?
Nobody raises the objection that it says katna zuk.
What would be the objection?
If there are only two daughters... Then why wouldn't they call a pair of daughters instead of a kat of daughters suggests more than two?
Because kat is also, no, kat is often two. Kat of edim is two edim. They always call shnei kitei edim. And the assumption generally is edim is two, right? No. Okay. So Amar le Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yehoshua l'Rava. Ha Pesach, okay, here's the second question now. Ha Pesach, now remember, what did I start with? The Pesach case is comparative to this case, right? The Pesach case, ad pinei, could mean, right, until before Pesach, where it's obvious, just like eldest is the eldest. Or it could be relative that any day within Pesach could still be before the end of Pesach, right? So everyone is potential, and therefore we're going to forbid you till the very end. So now, would you say that's katachat or shtekitot? There's only one Pesach, right? So clearly, ha Pesach, and we see they have the same machloka by Pesach, but Pesach, if you would compare it to any of these cases, it would be like kat achat, because there's only one Pesach. Apnei Pesach is only referring to one group of Pesach, right? As opposed to ad, right? My oldest daughter is referring to potential two possible groups of daughters. So how can Abai, how can you say that they're not arguing in that case when we see they have the same argument by Pesach? So Amar Leh, you misunderstood the machloket. Like I told you before, we're going to see that there's another way to understand that machloket. Hatam bilishne da'ama kamipalge. Mar savar ad pnei Pesach ad kamei pischa. Umar savar ad mifnei pischa. Ad pnei Pesach doesn't necessarily mean until before Pesach. And then we have to question, what do you mean? Before it starts or before the end? What it means, what the issue about this machloket is, ad pnei, what does ad pnei mean? Pnei means could mean lifne, right, until before, or pene could be like lifnot erev, like as it's ending. So ad pene could mean as Pesach's ending, and that's what he means. It's a machloket about what does the word mean, not, you know, what does the term mean, not what did he mean when he used this term. You follow? So therefore, he says, don't try to reject my answer from there, because that has nothing to do with this. Okay. So that was all Abai. He was just trying to tell us that if you had one family, Gdola, Emsai, Benoni, Ktana, you would basically assume that Gdola means Gdola, Ktana means Ktana, and only when you have two do we start to think it's relatively speaking. New Mishnah. Haomer, now we're going to see four cases, okay? I outline them here, and then we're going to see, it's going to be very obvious as soon as you start to read this, you're going to know that this is where the Gemara is going. The Gemara is going to start to ask, well, why do we need each case? Wouldn't you be able to learn one from the other, and what's the chidush of each case? And that's what I put on the last column of this chart. Okay, what's the chidush of each one? Haomer li isha kidashtich. I betrothed you. Vihi omeret lo kidashtani. No, you didn't. So, we have this concept, shav yanaf shachaticha di isura. If you remember, what does this mean? A person can turn himself into a davar asur, meaning, by his word alone, he can forbid something to himself, but he can't do it to somebody else. So therefore, if he claims, you're betrothed to me, and she claims, I'm not, so he can only forbid himself. He can't forbid anything to her. So now it's like a safek mikudeshet, but only from his perspective. So what's the relevance? So hu asur bekrovoteha, he can now not marry her relatives because he claims he's married to her, so he can't betroth any of her relatives. V'hi muteret bekrovav, and she, though, is permitted to marry any one of his relatives because she doesn't think that she's forbidden. And of course she can marry anybody else, right? She's not an eshet ish. Hi omeret kidashtani. What if it's the flip? Okay, that's why it's going to be obvious, right? What's going to be here? She says, you betrothed me. V'hu omer, lo kidashtich, I did not. So, hu mutar b'krovoteha, v'hi asura b'krovav, and she obviously can't marry anybody else because she's safek mekudeshet to him. Okay, so she is forbidden to his relatives, he's permitted to hers. Kidashtich, let's say he says, I betrothed you. V'hi omeret, lo kidashta ela biti. You didn't betroth me, you betrothed my daughter. Hu asur b'krovot gdola, ugdula ugdola muteret b'krovav. So since he said he betrothed her, so he's forbidden to her relatives, but she, gdola means the mother, is muteret to his relatives because she doesn't think she's betrothed to him. But hu mutar b'krovot ktana, he's allowed to marry any of the krovot of the daughter, right? Because there could be krovot, right? The krovim that are karov to the daughter but not to the mother. So he's allowed with those krovim. A lot of them overlap, but if there are those that don't. Uktana muter b'krovav. And the younger one, since she certainly never said anything, she can't be forbidden by what the mother forbids her, right? The mother says the daughter's betrothed, but she's not. Now remember, we're going to see this in the Gemara. Remember that a father can say about a daughter that she's betrothed and is believed. Et bitina tati li'ish hazeh. Remember that pasuk we saw the other day. So he is believed, but the mother's not believed. Kidashti et bitech, he says, I betrothed your daughter. V'hi omeret lo kidashta eloti. She says, no, you didn't. You betrothed me. So hu asur b'krovot ktana, since he said about the younger one, so he's forbidden to her relatives. Uktana muteret b'krovav, and the younger one is allowed to his relatives because she didn't say anything. Hu mutar b'krovot gdola, ugdola asura b'krovav, right? So now the mother is forbidden to his relatives because she claims she was betrothed to him, but he's obviously not forbidden to her relatives because he didn't say anything. Okay, now we're going to go through what the chidush of each one. Haomer li isha kidashtich, utzricha. Why do we need the first two cases? D'iyash me'inan gabei didei, if it just said about him, he says kidashtich, mishum de'gavra lo ichpatle, umikre. The husband, it's very easy for him to be flippant about this because it doesn't have so much effect on him, right? If she says kidashtich, she says you betroth me, right? Then she's turning herself into an eshet ish. But for the man, there's not such ramifications except for isur b'krovim. Aval ihi ema I lav dekim le b'diburei lav havat amaret v'litzar iu b'krovotea. But her, since she never would have said this unless it was really true, right? Why would she put herself into a situation where she turns herself into an Eish Hadish if it wasn't really the case, especially if the guy doesn't even want to say he's betrothed to her? Like, now she's stuck, right? She needs a get from him. What if he doesn't want to give her a get because he says, you're not even betrothed to me? So why would she ever get herself into that situation unless she was being honest? In which case...
In the Mishnah, it doesn't say she's not Eish. It just says that he has a lot of cold love.
It doesn't say that, but it's obvious. And they're comparing the Krovim issue, but it's 100% clear that if she says, I'm betrothed to you, she's no longer allowed to marry anybody else because she turned herself into Davar Asur. Okay? So that's Shavya Nafshach Chaticha D'Yisura. They're picking an issue that's comparable to both. He anyway can marry somebody else. So that's not an issue that would flip. But that's a Vadai that she can't marry anybody else. So now... In the first case where he says it, we could say he's being flippant and maybe he's lying because anyway, this statement doesn't have major ramifications for him. And therefore, we're going to believe her in terms of herself that she's not forbidden. But when she says it, what other motivation would she have for saying this if it weren't really true? And therefore, maybe we would say that he's also forbidden to her croving. And therefore, Kamashmalan, it's coming to teach you that even in that case, we don't believe her. Right, we believe her only as regards to her. She's not strong enough to forbid him to the relatives. Next case, okay? Case number 3. Kidashtich v'hi omeret, right? Not me, but my daughter. So hatu lamali. So what do you need this case for? Itzdirich, you need it. Why? Sakada tachamina mida oraita hemne rachmana la'av. Mida rabbanan hemnua ledida. V'titzar barte b'dibua. Kamashmalan. What my youth thought? You might have thought that since the father is believed me to oraita, to forbid his daughter, like we said, my daughter I gave to this man and we believe him. So if he's believed about the daughter me to oraita, maybe me to rabbanan will believe the mother also. Okay? Kamashmalan, that's why they have to bring case number 3 to teach you, no, we don't. Okay? As you follow the whole logic that without saying this, you could have all come up, if I gave you that first case, you could have all come up with all the other cases and all the permutations. And therefore, assumption that the Mishnah wouldn't tell us if it was obvious. How about the flip? So now we have to explain case number 4. So just to make it very clear, we've explained case number 1 and why you need the opposite of it, right? Case number 2. Then we've explained case number 3, which is another case, right? So now they're not going to have a good answer for this. So what are they going to obviously say? Well, it balances out the Mishnah, right? In other words, if you already gave that case and it's flip, and then this case may as well bring its flip. Okay, so hatu lamali. So I did the Tana ha, Tana namiha. Since the guy who was writing the Mishnah, the Tana, wrote this case, so he also wrote the flip case. And then we want to round out the Mishnah, otherwise it's a little imbalanced. Okay, next. Itmar. There's a machloket Tanaim about these cases. Now it's unclear, we're going to see right away, what case are they talking about. Rav amar kofin. Okay, what does kofin mean? We're going to force the husband, in this case, to give the wife a get. Because otherwise, right, well, again, they're not husband and wife. We don't know what they are. We're going to force the man to give the wife a get. Now, we're going to see immediately which case you're referring to. Ushmuel amar mivakshin. We've seen this before. With his machloket, sometimes whether we force him to give a divorce or we request that he give a divorce. We don't force him, we request. So Shmuel says we request. So right now, we're going to see it's not really the case. But right now we think that the machloket is between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says we force him to give a get. Shmuel says we don't force. So now they say, ahaya. On which case is this referring to? Ilema aresha. If you're going to say it's the first case where he said, I betrothed you, and she said, you didn't. Lav kofinika v'lo mavakshinika. What do you even need it for, right? What's the point of a get? The point of a get is for her. He can marry anyone he wants. So she doesn't need a get, right? She's allowed to anybody because she didn't think she was betrothed. Ella aseifa, if you're going to say it's the second case where she says I'm betrothed and he says no, so that makes sense, right? You follow? Then we might say, oh, we force him to give a get because otherwise this woman's stuck. But they're going to say, wait. Bishlaman mivakshin l'chaye. Mivakshin, we understand. We tell him, please... go give her a get. You know, we can't force him, man. We're going to say, Ela kofin amai. We can't force him. Why not? Amar lo nichale de itzar bekirba. Bekreva. What's he saying? If she says, I'm betrothed, and he says no, what did we say? He's allowed to her croving. Once he gives her a divorce, then she becomes his grusha no matter what, whether they were betrothed or not, right? It was a suffix. We forced her to give a divorce. At that point, she's betrothed. At that point, what do we say? Well, if we force him, he'll be forbidden to our relatives. We can't force someone to do that. Maybe he wants to marry her sister and he should be allowed to just because, and what do you think in the end? Maybe she's saying it because she doesn't want him to marry her sister, right? She could be trying to mess him up. So therefore, we can't force him. So therefore, the opinion of Kofin makes no sense. So therefore, they say this machloket doesn't make any sense. We must be misunderstanding the machloket. Ela shmatita ahada de'itvar. The opinions go on each other. What does this mean? Amar Shmuel, mivakshi mimenu liten get. Okay, Shmuel says, now again, we're talking about case number two. She says, I'm betrothed. So Shmuel says, we request that he give her a get. Amar Rav, Rav says, im natan get me'atzmo, kofino to liten ketubah. The kofin wasn't where kofino to liten get. The kofin is that if he happened to have, let's say he was a nice guy, right? He saw that the woman really thought she was betrothed. So he said, I'll give you a get on his own volition. Once he gives her a get, well then, what do we assume? If he really gave her a get, then he's somewhat admitting to the fact that he was betrothed, that she was betrothed to him, and therefore we can force him to give a get. That's what he's saying. Okay? So therefore, they're not having, it's not an opposite machloket. Shmuel says we request.
No, forcing him to pay the ketubah. He agreed to give the get.
Sorry, forcing him to pay
but
the ketubah.
If the ketubah exists, then they don't have to prove that they
remember, married. Ketubah doesn't necessarily exist. You have to pay the ketubah anyway. If you don't have a ketubah, it's a tanai beitin, you have to give the ketubah money. So basically, what do we say? If he does give the get, now, if there's two options of when he'll give the get. One is the beitin says, please give her a get to help this poor woman. If he does that, he doesn't have to give her a ketubah. But if he gave her a get without the Beit Din requesting it, then we say Edim LaDavar that he must have been betrothed to her. And therefore, we can force him to give the ketubah based on that. That's what Rav is saying when he says Kofi. Amar Shmuel. Itmar Nami. It's also said the same thing. Amar Rav Acha Barada. Rav Acha Bar Ada says in the name of Rav, V'Amrela, and some people say, Rav Acha Bar Ada, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Amar Rav, he passed it down in the name of Rav Hamnuna, who passed it down in the name of Rav, the Kofin Mavakshin Tarte, okay, Hachi Kamar, Kofin Mavakshin Tarte, the Kofin Mavakshin Tarte, how do they work together, Kofin Mavakshin, it can't possibly be, so they say, Hachi Kamar, let me read it a little better. They passed down the name of Rav Kofin Umavakshin. The Rav said, we force and we request. So then they said, what are you talking about? We force and request. Doesn't make any sense. So they say that's what he means. Okay? I'm Rav Yehuda. Hamekadesh pe'ed achad en choshashin l'kidushav. Okay, so now we say, Rav Yehuda says, if you're Makadesh by one witness, okay, now we're going to get into a whole issue here about one witness. It's a very interesting thing. If you have, generally, what do we say? You know, people try to uproot marriages. When there's issues with marriages, they'll say, well, if there's no kosher witnesses, right, then the Kiddushin never happened. Okay, so this is a good source for that opinion, okay, because we're going to see now, if you don't have two witnesses to a Kiddushin, okay, and we're going to see what if, even if both, right, even two kosher witnesses, because if you say witness, it has to be kosher, so that goes without saying. Even if they both agree that they're betrothed, okay, we're not going to necessarily consider this a kiddushin. So let's say you have eid echa for the kiddushin. So he says, ein choshishin l'kiddushav. We're not concerned that this is kiddushin. Vaminei Rav Yehuda. So now they ask Rav Yehuda, what if shnehem modim mai? What if you have one aid, and both people admit that we're betrothed. So what does he answer? In velo v'rafya biyade. He was wishy-washy about it. He didn't really know what to say about this. Itmar, it was said, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Hamekadesh be'ed echad, en choshashin l'kiddushav, v'afilu shnehem modim. Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, if you're Mekadesh with one witness, en choshashin l'kiddushav, v'afilu shnehem modim. So there you see it, right? That's exactly the case. We're not choshashin even if both admit to it. Eitzibei Rav le Rav Nachman. So now we're going to ask a question on this from our Mishnah. Ha'omer li shaki dashtich, v'hi omer lo ki dashtich. Now notice, our Mishnah seemed to be his word against her word, right? But we didn't talk at all about were there witnesses. So now we're going to try to figure out, was this a case with witnesses or not? So what do we hear? What do we see here? Ha'omer li shaki dashtich, v'hi omer lo ki dashtich. Hu asor b'krovoteh, v'hi muter b'krovav. If there were two witnesses, well, amai muter b'krovav, right? She'd be 100% married. She shouldn't be muter b'krovav. And if there's no edim at all, why should he even be forbidden to her relatives? His word is meaningless without edim. Okay? If this whole question is be'ed echad, does it mean anything? Obviously, without eid echad, it's certainly not going to mean anything. So therefore, it must be elalav be'ed echad. Okay? So therefore, we're going to see that this must be a case of eid echad. And what are we saying? We're not choshashin l'kiddushav, right? Because she goes off and can go marry whoever she wants. You follow? So they were making this Mishnah in the eid echad case, because it doesn't make sense to say anything else. And if it's making be'ed echad, what do you see? She's not safek mekudeshet. So that's a question on Rav Nachman, who said, "Hamekadesh be'ed echad." I did something wrong because we are choshesh in the kiddushav. One second. Elala be'ed echad. It's the opposite. It's the fact that we say that he's a sur b'krovet. Right. Okay, let's go back for a second. If you say no edim, right? Zero edim, then obviously it's going to be meaningless, right? We don't view this as anything. Two edim, obviously going to be a full-fledged thing. If you say one ed, we're going to assume that's why he's asur b'krovotel. Otherwise, we would say it's nothing at all, right? And here we see that we do count it as something. So therefore, we are choshesh, at least from his perspective, right? So now take it one step further. What was the case he brought? He brought a case, right? This is a case where there's one aid and the ish is modeh, right? So what did we say? If one aid, the ish is modeh, right? So from the man's perspective, we're choshesh, the kiddushin, not for the woman's perspective. But what was the case he was talking about? We're shnehem modim. So if there's aid echad and shnehem modim, what would we obviously say? If there's aid echad, the ish is modeh, we're choshesh for his kiddushin. If there's shnei aidim, if there's one aid and shnehem modim, both of them admit, then obviously we're going to assume that both are forbidden and both there's choshesh for kiddushin. And what did Rav Nachman say? Shnehem modim, right? He didn't know what to say. He said, right? Before that, right? I'm Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. He answered the question. Rav Yehuda didn't know what to say, and Rav Nachman said, "Ein choshishin l'kiddushav v'afilu shneim modim." So that seems to not match our Mishnah. Follow? Well, the first assumption is our Mishnah must be eid echad because it makes no sense to say otherwise. If our Mishnah is eid echad, then in the case of eid echad and shneim modim, we would definitely be choshesh l'kiddushin. So therefore, that seems to reject what he said. So then, what do they answer? No. And the suffix isn't. It wasn't that there was one aid at the wedding, okay, and that's why we have this whole, at the betrothal, and that's why we have our suffix. What was the suffix? Kigon de amarla, ki dashtich bifnei ploni uploni, valchulam lemedinat hayam. He claims that there was a valid kiddushin in front of shnei aidim. Now it's just a matter of, do we take his word versus her word? The whole issue is that if there's only one aid at a wedding, it's not a valid wedding at all. So that's why Rav Nachman says, if there's one aid, even if shnei modim, there's no wedding without witnesses. And that's what we're going to see later, that this is different from dinei mamonot. Okay, the very end of today's talk, if we get all the way there, says that in dinei mamonot, if I sell you something, right, even if there's no witnesses, something transpired. Okay, and the witnesses are just to clarify in a case that we have a disagreement about the sale. But in dinei kiddushin, Gerushin, without witnesses, it doesn't even exist. So therefore, Rav Nachman says one aid and shnei modim doesn't matter. There's no two aiding. Doesn't exist. The case of our mission where we're misupakim and we say we're going to be choshesh l'kiddushin, at least from the person's perspective who's admitting, it's because they're saying there was a valid kiddushin in front of two witnesses. It's just a debate whether that valid, right, he claims it was a valid wedding, and she says that, betrothal, and she says there was no betrothal at all, and that's what the argument is about. It's not that there was one aid, and each one is saying something different. Okay? So now we're going to have another question on this assumption that ein choshashin l'kiddushav. Etive, hamigareshet ishto velana imo bepundaki. Okay, we saw this case also in the past. He divorces his wife, and then sleeps together in a hotel room. We don't assume that they slept together l'shem kiddushin and that he remarried her and now she'd need a new get. They need another get because the assumption is they slept together and he re-betrothed her and therefore she'd need a new get. What's the case again? Edim, if there's edim, so my time I had to beit shamai. Right? Why would he say they're not betrothed? They were edim. And idaleka edim, mau tama de beit hillel. Right? How can we assume she's betrothed when we have no witnesses to the event? So what do they answer? Right? So they say ella be'ed echad. It must be eid echad. And again, what do you see? Eid echad is sufficient to create a chashash. And yet, what did Rav Nachman say? Eid echad, even if shnei amodim, is not sufficient to create a chashash kedushin. Because again, we passed like Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says she's betrothed to him. So again, they're going to say, no. Doesn't make any sense to say that this case was Eid Echad. You misunderstood the case. Because look at the Seifa of that Mishnah. V'lita mech ema Seifa. What does it say there? Umodim benit garshim in a erusin she'en srichai menu get sheni. They agree that if it was only he had given her a gift from the betrothal, and then they were together in a hotel room, they all agree that she doesn't need another get. Why? Because remember, when they were engaged, the assumption was they didn't yet sleep together. So therefore, there's less of a chance that they actually slept together when they were in the hotel room afterwards. And if you're going to say there was one witness that saw this, so if Eidachad is Meheman for Kiddushin, then Eidachad should be Meheman here, even if it was Mina Erisin. Mali Mina Erisin, Mali Mina Nisuin. If an A witness that they had sex together, well, then obviously we're going to assume that, right? And that either Eidachad works or it doesn't work. What's the difference whether they were engaged before they were divorced or they were married before they were divorced? Ella, so therefore that doesn't make any sense. So now we have to explain, so what is the Machloket? So what we basically said now is this has nothing to do with our issue. So then the question is, what is the issue there? If you remember, we saw this already. There were edim that saw them go into the hotel room, but there weren't edim that saw them actually have sex together. Beit Shammai says, we don't assume that just because they saw them going into a room, that they can function also as edim bia. But Hillel says, no, if they saw them go into a room, we can assume they actually slept together, and therefore the Eidei Yichud are sufficient to establish that there was Bia, even if they didn't see it. Umodim, and this leads us to the Seifa of the Mishnah. Umodim v'adai benidgarshim and erishin delo amrinan hein hein Eidei Yichud v'hein hein Eidei Bia mishum mibnesha ein libo gazva. But they all agree that the Eidei Yichud would not be sufficient to assume that there was Bia in a case where it was erishin, because he's not used to sleeping with her, and therefore we don't assume he slept with her. Okay. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel. So we had two questions. Okay, let's just review. We have Rav Nachman who said when there's one witness and two, Shnehem Modim, both the husband and the wife admit that they were betrothed, we still don't consider this a betrothal. Ein choshishin l'kiddushav. Okay, so now, and again, our Mishnah must be in a case where the assumption of the person who says there was kiddushin was that it was kiddushin with two witnesses and it was a valid kiddushin. Okay, but if there was any thoughts that there was only one witness, then it certainly wouldn't be good, right? Neither one would be forbidden to the other's relatives. So, and then we brought two questions on them, we answered them up. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Derav. Hamakadesh be'ed echad, ein choshishin l'kiddushav, va'afilu shnei amodim. So now we have another opinion, right? Same thing. Hamakadesh be'ed echad, another person says in the name of Rav, ein choshishin l'kiddushav, va'afilu shnei amodim. So we have Rav Nachman, now we have in the name of Rav. Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, Hamakadish be'ed echad, Beit Din Rabba Amrei ein choshishin l'kiddushav. So Rabba Rav Huna also says, okay, you can see we're going all in the same direction, that the great Beit Din said ein choshishin l'krovav. Man Beit Din Rabba, who was this? Rav. Vika de Amrei, and some people say that this was said a little differently. It's the same basic idea. That instead of Rabba Rav Huna saying it, that Beit Din Rabba said this, it was Rabba Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. This halacha, Hamakadosh be'edecha Beit Din Rabba Amrei, Ein Choshishin L'Kiddushav. And instead of last time we said, he said the Beit Din Rabba said it, and we said the Beit Din Rabba is Rav, now he said it in the name of Rav, that Rav said that the Beit Din Rabba said it. And if Rav's saying, who's the Beit Din Rabba? Man Beit Din Rabba? Rebbe. Rav must be referring to Rebbe as the one who said it. So it's just a question of, does it go all the way back to Rebbe who said this, or is it only Rav who said it? Okay, either way, it's a strong opinion. Mativ Rav Achtavoy Bar Ami. Here's another question. Shneim baum mi medinat hayam vi ishayim ahem. This sounds like a joke, okay? It's a really interesting case. Two people come from abroad with a woman and a chavilayim ahem. They have a package, okay? Let's just call it a suitcase. Okay, so there's a man, another man, a woman, and a package. Okay, we're going to throw everything up into question. Zeh Omer, the first guy says, Zo Ishti, okay, the woman's my wife. Zeh Avdi, the man is my Eved. Vizo Chavilati, and this is my suitcase. Vizeh Omer, and the other guy says, Zeh Ishti, no, she's my wife. Zeh Avdi, you're my Eved. Vizeh Chavilati, Vizo Chavilati, and this is my suitcase. Vi'isha Omeret, Elu Shnei Avadai V'Chavila Sheli. These both, right, I told you, it's a great joke. These both are my Avadim, and the suitcase is mine. So, what's the halacha? Tzricha Shnei Gitin, each man has to give her a get. V'gova k'tubata min ha-chavila. Now, since the chavila is split between the three, right? But if they're both giving her a get, then let's talk about this chavila. Let's say that the chavila is valued at 200 zuz or more. Okay, let's start with 200 zuz. So she has 100% rights to the 200 zuz that's in that suitcase because she has rights to it. Either it's hers, or it belongs to one guy, or it belongs to the other guy. Either it's hers and she's right, and then it's hers. And she's not married. If she's married or betrothed to one of these guys, then they owe her 200 zuz if they're giving her a get. So no matter what, she gets the 200 zuz. The rest of the money, they say, goes to like Yehem Munach Ad Shevo Eliyahu, or we split it three ways. There's a debate about what we do with the rest of it.
But if they're coming on the ship, they're no witnesses
to the Kiddushin. So why does she even need a get? So Yafeh. So Hechidami, so what's the case? That's why they're bringing this. Idi Lesade Lahai, Vid Lesade Lahai. If they each have witnesses, well then, Mimatze Amre, Elushne Avadai V'Chavila Sheli. Well then, if they have two witnesses and they have two witnesses, then how could we even be mitchashev by what she says? There's two witnesses against anything she says, and therefore she doesn't have any right to the Chavila from it being her own. Elala Be'ed Echad. So it must be Eid Echad, and what do you see here? Eid Echad is enough to establish Kiddushin to require her again. So now they say, wait a minute, Eid Echad wouldn't work either. V'tizbara Eid Echad B'hakhasha Mimeheman. If he has one aid and the other guy has one aid, well, they each contradict each other. So clearly, the aid achad versus the aid achad would go out the window and would be meaningless. So ella lemishrei la'alma. What's the issue here? To allow her to marry everybody in the world. Dekule alma lo pligi deshari. V'hacha. So now everyone agrees that she's actually not considered betrothed. She can go marry anyone she wants. V'hacha hachikamar. What's the issue here? Tzricha shnei gitim. In terms of the Dine Mamonot issue, does this money belong to her? If she if she wants to collect the money, then they each have to give her two gitin, right? Each have to give her a get, and then she can go over the money. Last line here, for Rabbi Meir Hidamar, but then you would have to hold, who remembers Ketubot? The major opinion there was that you can only be govek tubot mikarkaot, and therefore this whole thing wouldn't be true. But now they're saying this must go like Rabbi Meir, who holds that you can be govek from metaltel. Okay, we'll get back tomorrow to whether we pass in choshashin l'kiddushah or in choshashin l'kiddushah, and finish up the sugya.